Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Soda Pop Podcast. Today, our guest is the Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, Dr. Burkhalter. She has been at UNA since fall 2014, and since she's been here, she's had a pretty big impact on the college. We asked you guys if you had any questions for her. We actually got some really good questions, so let's get on into it. Lainey?
Okay, so our first question is from Benny Stedman, who is a secondary music education major. And he asks, he actually has a two-parter, what are your thoughts about the newly formed School of the Arts? And what are some ideas that you have for collaborations between the College of Arts and Sciences and the School of the Arts?
All right, great. I appreciate you being willing to let me sit in on one of your podcasts. And I definitely want to thank Dr. Brown for his leadership in the School of the Arts. So let's talk about the School of the Arts and how we first envisioned that and where we see it going. As you may or may not know, we have the School of the Arts that sits under the umbrella of the College of Arts and Sciences. And the College of Arts and Sciences is the largest college on campus. We do have 19 departments. And as we looked at where we live in the Shoals area, it's such a great creative environment, we thought, well, how do we maximize our recruiting, retention, and collaboration among all the different arts disciplines so that we can be seen as the hub of artistic activity and creative activity in the state of Alabama. And Dr. Brown has been part of that leadership discussion from the very beginning. And one way, when we looked at models across the United States, was to look at a leadership model that would allow different programs and different departments to participate while at the same time everyone moving in the same direction of recruiting, retention, collaboration. And so with our president's approval and our provost's approval and the board of trustees' approval, we were able to form this School of the Arts. And Dr. Brown applied as the director, and he's the perfect choice. Having come out of music, he understands the arts very well. And so going to the question about the collaborations, I think what you'll see is that Dr. Brown's philosophy about creativity in all aspects of the college will spread not only to the arts, but to more traditional STEM disciplines or humanities or actually the social and behavioral sciences. I mean, an example there is how music and the arts will often calm people who have anxiety problems. And so Dr. Brown and I have talked, and I'm sure I would suggest that at some point you interview Dr. Brown about all of his great ideas. But there's no doubt that there are ways that non-arts disciplines can partner with the arts and expand how they think about growing their own discipline for the future, for the next 100 years.
All right, our next question is from Jacob Skinner. He's a theater major, and he asked, this is another two-parter. He said, how long do you think it'll be before we see the cinematic arts and theater merge with the School of the Arts into one unit? He said, as a theater major, he'd love to see more collaboration between the theater department and the cinematic arts students.
Right. I think this is an absolutely fair question for those listeners who may not know. Our film, traditional film program is in communications, and our traditional theater program is in entertainment industry. And so when we created the School of the Arts, a natural question has emerged, and that is there a way that we can take film and collaborate or combine in some way with theater to create a more powerful program or a more powerful unit. And I think that that is absolutely a discussion that Dr. Brown and I have had. It's a discussion that we've had with the department chairs in those respective departments. We are brand new. Dr. Brown, when did you start? July 1?
July 1. All actually, right. Oh, June 1. June I keep forgetting.
Okay.
June 1.
So when you look at how long we have had the School of the Arts, it's not even been 6 months. Mm-hmm. So we have talked about how this first year we are looking at evaluation of these partnerships and evaluation of the needs financially, but also in terms of recruiting and retention. And then in year two, we'll be able to implement some of the initiatives and activities that will help us accomplish more of these collaborations. But I do think that Jacob's question and it is appropriate. We've had it before, and Dr. Brown and I have talked about it, and it will stay on the forefront of our discussion at least until we make a decision after this first 12 months on how we implement all of the great ideas that Dr. Mm-hmm. Brown has.
Okay. Well, our third question is from Maggie Freeman, who is also a theater major. And this is also a two-parter. She asks, how will the implementation of the School of the Arts affect scholarship opportunities for art students? And then she says that there are many STEM scholarships at UNA, but will more scholarships become available for upperclassmen, SOTA students, to help them stay in their departments?
That's a great question. I know that Dr. Brown and I have talked about, and we expanded some of the arts scholarships for incoming freshmen, and we've tried to expand some student worker opportunities for upperclassmen. But it's a great question, and it's certainly something that I'm open to discussing with Dr. Brown about how we can come up with a more comprehensive scholarship plan. But absolutely, my goal is to create more scholarships in the arts so that our students will know that we value arts as much as any other discipline on campus.
And I would just have to like add a thing. I think that Dean Burkhalter has been very instrumental in supporting the arts in so much that any institution that I've been a part of before, to have a dean so interactive with arts education and also the importance of it is usually unheard of. And even though her discipline is not an arts background, she always makes it feel like that she absolutely knows everything that we're going through and the struggles that we're going through because she's able to listen to what we need. Mm-hmm. And with that, you know, we realize that scholarship opportunities are on the forefront, but there are steps that we need to take in order to make that equitable across each grade division.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, our next question is from our very own Tequila Cohen, who's a history major, and she would like to know, what kind of dance moves do you know, and do you have a favorite one?
I do not know any dance moves. That doesn't keep me from dancing. My husband has a strict rule that says we cannot go dancing in town. We can only go dancing out of town where no one will see us. Because I don't have dance moves. And I certainly don't have a favorite, because if you have a favorite, that would require you to know the names of your dance moves. And I don't have that. Usually, I'm old school disco. And so, you know.
So did you tell me you have the bell bottoms
and Sarah also,
yeah, and the goldfish heels and the afro? Can we do that?
We could do that if we needed to have a show and tell. It wouldn't be a stretch for my hair.
you see that, listeners? We have our next fundraiser, Disco Night with Dean.
<Jean. laughs>
Well, I have, consider, I guess, would be our last question. What do you think about the role of arts education within our state? And the second part, is it currently being valued? And if not, how can we change the narrative?
I think it's a good question. I think it's really a two-parter in terms of where the value lies and where there are concerns about the value. It's been my experience in higher education that we do value the arts. I cannot say that all schools in the state of Alabama in K through 12 are able to value the arts. Mm-hmm. And so unfortunately what that does is it sets the stage so that students graduating may not understand the value of the arts when they get to college, even if their institution values the arts. Most of the higher education institutions that I've visited or even worked at in the state of Alabama do have a value, but it doesn't mean all of our students have a value. So I would say, with the part of the question that says, how can we change the narrative? Obviously, there are states organizations that all folks in the arts should be participating in so that that collective voice can be heard by the state legislature, especially with regard to funding of the arts in K-12. But closer to home, I would argue that we on campus should have initiatives that give students more opportunities to participate in arts activities on campus, and also articulate the imperative of participating in these arts activities on campus. And that imperative has to come from the narrative around that imperative has to come from the idea that the arts are the protector of all of our creative thinking. And when we devalue the arts, we eventually devalue all creative thinking. And all disciplines need creative thinking in order for innovation and invention to occur. So for me, that's the narrative that needs to be articulated on every college campus, particularly because we have students who may not have had those experiences in their high school.
I really like the mention when you talked about finding value and where that value begins. I guess just going a little bit further with that, when we have a culture that has been set up to not place value in artistic levels because this hasn't been taught, and also arts education is not so readily accessible in primary and secondary schools, where do we begin to talk to legislators to make that a priority? How do we go about doing that?
Well, that's a great question. I think that individual citizens have to join hands with the folks that are the professionals. Because if the citizenry, particularly the middle class masses, if they're not articulating that need and vision to the state legislature, then the motive of the professionals will always be questioned. And we want to move past the government asking what our motive is around it and ask, well, how can we help? And that's why I think the citizenry has to rally around the topic. And you know, the great thing about the Shoals area is we do that.
Yeah.
It's not intuitive to every community, but it certainly is intuitive to our community. And so maybe the answer lies in how do we articulate as a community what we do to tell the story of the importance of the arts and let that be a model for the rest of the state.
Anybody else have any questions? Any personal questions? Funny questions?
I'm good.
All right. Well, we've enjoyed having Dean Burkhalter here.
Thank you all for having me.
With us today, and she's answered some very difficult questions with ease and grace.
Thank you.
We didn't expect any less, but we hope that we'll have her back in future podcasts to talk about other subjects, and we thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, and if you guys haven't listened or even heard about our other podcasts, go check them out, Podbean. They're also on iTunes now if you want to go check them out. We were supposed to have video for our Halloween podcast. Sadly, it didn't work out, but this one will definitely work out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a promise. So that's all we got for you today, and we'll see you in the next episode.
This podcast has been brought to you by UNA School of the Arts, produced by Mark Gallegos and Lainey Green, hosted by Dr. Terrence Brown. Special thanks to Monica Collier and the SOTA staff.